My name is David Blackburn. I'm one of the pastors here at Faith Fellowship. Thank you for worshiping with us this morning. Just a little explanation of what's going on with my mouth. This week I came down with what's called Bell's palsy. And you that have had that, you know that's a temporary paralysis of one side of your face. Very uncomfortable. Makes you very self-conscious. But if you'll bear with me, God wants me to preach this message. So we'll get through it together. Amen. We're in this series called Fade, and we've been seeing how some things have faded away in our country and in the lives of Christians. Today we want to look at another endangered virtue of character. It's gratitude. I believe that in most segments of America, gratitude has faded away and almost become extinct. You can look, but it's hard to find gratitude in the home, in our schools, in the workplace, and even in the church. Yes, the church. Sadly, the people of God are some of the biggest offenders when it comes to gratitude. There's a story in the Old Testament book of 2 Kings about a king in Judah named Hezekiah. The enemy nation of Assyria had this huge army, and they were camped at Jerusalem, preparing to fight and take over the land. Now, King Hezekiah was devastated, and he went to the temple, and he prayed this high, holy prayer, something like this: God, save us! Let me pause there for a moment. And you in the booth, just pause me. Sometimes we think we have to go to God with all the right words. We have to know everything there is to know about the Bible, how to pray. Sometimes, friends, all you need to say is, God, save us. As a result of this prayer by King Hezekiah, God did two things. Number one, he gave this promise: and the remnant who have escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. The second thing God did was to send an angel to kill 185,000 of the Assyrian soldiers who were encamped around Jerusalem. So God spared Hezekiah and the people. And he promised the people that they would take root downward, this spiritual path to set their roots down deep in God. And because of that, they would bear fruit upward. Now, just as in those ancient days, we must get the roots of gratitude planted down deep again in our lives and in our country for there ever to be spiritual, moral, and economic fruit to grow upward. In the New Testament, we read this from the Apostle Paul: sink your roots in him and build on him. Be strengthened by the faith that you were taught and overflow with thanksgiving. We're told here to let our spiritual roots go down deep into Jesus Christ. Then we're to be strengthened by the faith that we were taught, and we're to overflow with thanksgiving. You see, one of the chief characteristics of deep spiritual roots in a person's life is continuous gratitude, which overflows with thanksgiving. Contrary to what some believe, thanksgiving isn't just a day that we celebrate once a year, but a daily habit in the life of a person with deep spiritual roots. What does it mean to be grateful and show continuous gratitude? I'm not referring to saying something like, I'm thankful for pumpkin pie, and man, am I thankful for pumpkin pie. I got a chance to talk to some of you about your Thanksgiving feast, and you're thankful for pumpkin pie too, aren't you? It's not just saying something like that, or saying something like, I'm thankful for freedom, which I am, or I'm thankful for good health, which I am. You see, many people can say those things. It takes very little intelligence or character or faith to be thankful for the good things in your life. In 1 Thessalonians, we learn what it means to show continuous gratitude. Give thanks, read it with me, in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is such an important verse, and I want to take it apart this morning momentarily and carefully look at it. First, Paul says, give thanks. Now, the phrase there, give thanks, is from the Greek word eucharistio. Eucharistio is the word we get for our word, good, Eucharist. Eucharist is the word that some churches use to refer to communion. In other words, when we take communion together, we're giving thanks to God for his forgiveness and salvation through Jesus Christ. We're thanking him once again as we come as a church family for all he's done for us in order that we might have eternal life. Paul goes on and says, give thanks in all circumstances. Now, it doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. There's a big difference between the word in and the word for. You don't have to be thankful for the bad in your life or the bad in the evil in the world. The Bible doesn't say we have to be thankful for all the bad and the evil. The verse says thank God in it, not for it. So why can I choose to thank God in all circumstances, whether they're good or bad? Well, here are some reasons. Number one, I know a sovereign God is in control and can bring his good out of all the bad that happens. I also know that God can take the stupid mistakes that I make, and I make some stupid mistakes, and he can turn them around and redeem them for his purposes for my life. I also know that I'm not going to have to live on this sinful planet forever, and I'm going to go to heaven one day. And then finally, I know no matter what happens, God is never going to stop loving me. You see, in all circumstances means just that. A-L-L. It means no exceptions, no excuses, or no exemptions. God expects you and me to be grateful and give thanks in all things and in every circumstance. That's why we call this continuous gratitude. And we know that it can only take place in a spiritually deep-rooted believer. You see, anybody can be grateful for a great turkey dinner. The Rams, 3 wins. Hey, now, come on. You can be thankful for a pay raise, a good doctor report, that your kids brought home grades that put them on the honor roll. But to be grateful in all circumstances, whether good or bad, is something that most of us have let fade away in our lives. Paul goes on to write this, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Many people want to know God's will for their life, and that's quite all right. Paul tells us here in this verse what a part of God's will is for you and me. What is it? That in all circumstances, whether good or bad, we would give thanks. If I want to know what part of God wants me to do with my life, I can look right here in this verse. In everything, David Blackburn, whether it's Bell's palsy or not, give thanks. For giving thanks is God's will for not only me, but for you. Some people might ask, well, what am I supposed to do with my life in 2013? You know, it's going to be here pretty soon. Am I supposed to get a new job? Am I supposed to go to school? Am I supposed to get married? Am I supposed to move to another town? All legitimate and good questions. And I believe that if God were to speak to us right now, he would say, all those questions you have and those decisions you must make, we're going to work on those together. But first, let's work on this. That in every circumstance in your life, whatever it might be, I want you to learn to give thanks to me. In the good things and the bad things of life, I want you to give thanks. And from this verse, we can know that it's God's will for us, my dear friends, to give thanks in everything. Why is that true? Why is it God's will, no matter what happens in my life, that I give thanks in all circumstances? Well, first, it helps build and strengthen relationships. If you want to build or strengthen a relationship with a person, start expressing gratitude to that person. If you notice yourself moving away from your husband or your wife, you know what you need to do? You need to start doing what you did at the very beginning of your life together, which was to express gratitude for each other. Do you want to build and strengthen a relationship with a friend, a parent, a spouse, with people at work? If you do, start spending more time expressing gratitude to them and for them. Did you know that expressing gratitude for people is a form of encouragement? When Paul wrote to the believers in Thessalonica, he reminded them of this principle. He says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. That's a great verse for us when it comes to people in our own lives. And I want to challenge us, myself included, I put myself at the very top, to be more intentional in expressing gratitude to the people in our lives. Commit to encouraging and building them up however you can. Tell people how grateful you are for them. Maybe it's a coworker. Heaven forbid, it might be your boss. It could be your parent or your spouse. It could be a teacher, a waitress, a sales clerk. Commit to encouraging and building them up, and you will find that in a wonderful way, it brings you closer together with that person and helps build a relationship. Another reason why it's God's will for us to be grateful is that it develops our faith. How does gratitude develop my faith? It happens when everything is going the way you didn't want it to go, and yet you thank God anyway. It happens when times are tough and when things don't make sense. It happens when you can't figure out why your prayers are unanswered and life really hurts. And in spite of all of that, you say, God, I know you're in control. I know you love me, God. I know you can bring good out of this situation. I'm not thankful for the situation, but I'm thankful in the situation that you're much bigger than the situation in which I find myself. You know, saying something like this in your own words is evidence of your trust and faith in God. Again, anybody can thank God for good things and good circumstances in life. But if you can thank God in the bad things that happen in your life, your faith develops and grows, and your spiritual roots go much deeper into Jesus. There's a man in the Old Testament named Habakkuk. Excuse me. Habakkuk. And see, it's always fun for me once in a while to bring these guys from the small books of the Bible. Only 3 pages long is this book of the Bible, Habakkuk. Bring these guys into a message because, next screen please. One day, when you get to heaven, Habakkuk's going to come up to you and say, "How did you like my book?" And the response I got right there is what I don't want you to get when you get up there. I don't want you to look clueless. The word I was going to use was look like a doofus. But I didn't know if I could say it, but I got it out, didn't I? Doofus, yeah. But I don't want you to look clueless up there and say, "You know, Mr. Habakkuk, I didn't even know you had a Bible or had a book in the Bible." So when you get to heaven, I want to make sure when these guys come up to you from these remote, obscure books of the Old Testament that you don't look embarrassed when they ask you about their book. And you can say, "Oh, I really liked what you had to say in chapter 3, Mr. Habakkuk. That was good stuff. And to help you out, I'm going to show you what some of the things he said in chapter 3 about the tough times that he was going through and the people were going through. Habakkuk said, figs might not grow on the fig trees. Grapes might not grow on the vines. Olives might not grow on the olive trees, and food might not grow in the fields. There might not be any sheep in the pens or cattle in the barns. But I will still be glad in the Lord and rejoice in God my Savior." Habakkuk says the economic future looks very bleak. The country is in a deep recession. It's an agricultural economy. He says, "I don't know how long we're going to be able to survive, but I will still be glad in the Lord." He's not thanking God for all the bad things that have gone wrong. What's his source of gratitude, even though everything is going down the tubes? Habakkuk can still be grateful because he realizes the Lord is his Savior. Habakkuk knew God would bring him and the people through this terrible time in their lives. Now, to rejoice during difficult times to some would seem like denial and totally inappropriate to rejoice like that. If you only look at the present circumstances. But you see, faith in God as a new perspective to what is happening to us in those tough times in life. Habakkuk learned to look beyond his present circumstance to a larger perspective. And faith assures us, just as it did Habakkuk, that even when things seem hopeless, our God can restore us. So here's the question for us this morning. Can you thank God, even when your life is being turned upside down and everything is going wrong? That's the ultimate test of faith. That's the test of whether you and I are spiritually shallow-rooted Christians or we're spiritually deep-rooted Christians. It's God's will that gratitude doesn't fade away in our lives and that in all things we give thanks because it helps build and strengthen relationships. It develops our faith. And it also serves others. Gratitude says that I'm going to go through life being grateful in every situation. and every circumstance, no matter if it's a good one or a bad one. And when we do that, it can serve others and become a ministry. Here at Faith Fellowship, we believe every Christ follower is a minister. Let that sink in a moment. Did you Christ followers know that you have a ministry that God wants to work through you to bless others? I want you to turn to your neighbor, someone beside you, and say, I'm a minister. Go on, do it for me. You didn't say you were a pastor or a missionary. You may be, but you may not be. But every Christian is a minister. What does that mean? It means we're to serve and minister to people no matter where they are, whether they're in our church or outside our church. One of the ministries all Christians can have is one called the ministry of appreciation. Do you know what the word appreciation means? How many of you ever bought a used or new vehicle? I saw a beautiful new car in a parking lot as I came in. Wow. If you've ever bought a used or new vehicle, you know the meaning of depreciation. John, the moment you drove that new titanium Focus off the lot, guess what? It went down in value. Been there, done that. Depreciation means to decrease in value. In some parts of the country, many homeowners know the meaning of both appreciation and depreciation. They've seen the value go up. They've seen the value go down on their property. One definition of appreciate is to rise in value. And what a great ministry for us to participate in, the ministry of appreciation. Wives, when you appreciate your husbands, you raise their value. And husbands, when you appreciate your wives, you raise their value. But guys, get this. You don't raise their value in order to trade them in. Now, women, it's a good, give it to them now. Come on. We're talking about raising their value in an emotional and a spiritual sense here. Parents, when you appreciate your children, you raise their value. When you appreciate your coworkers or your family members, you raise their value. The ministry of appreciation raises the value of people. And that's something, my friends, that has faded away in our society. There are so many people in America who have motives of depreciation when it comes to other people. They want to tear down, they want to destroy, and they want to lower the value of other people. And hopefully all of us will reject that notion and will choose instead the ministry of appreciation. Let's make a ministry out of raising the value of people simply by appreciating them and showing gratitude for them. Gratitude in every situation is always God's will because it helps build and strengthen relationships. It develops faith. It serves people. And it's a witness to people. One of the best ways to be a witness for Christ is to start with gratitude. The Bible lets us know that as believers, we're to live in a way that makes the truth about God attractive to other people. And so do you live like that? Do I live like that? Do people look at you? Do people look at me and say something like, because of him, because of her, I'd like to know more about being a follower of Christ. How do we make the truth of God more attractive to people? One way is found in this verse right here. Paul says, do everything without what? Now let's stop there. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Come on, Paul, be real, will you? Get serious, Paul. Where do you come off being so high and mighty and super spiritual? But that's what God says to do. Now, I must admit to you, there are some scriptures in the Bible that I don't fully understand. They are, many of them. I read Mark Twain said this. He said, I don't have a problem with parts of the Bible I don't understand. I have a problem with the parts I do understand. He had the same problem that some of us have. It's like this verse right here. This verse isn't really open to much question or debate. When God says, do everything without complaining or arguing, there's only one interpretation. It shouldn't be hard for you this morning. I know you're awake. What's the interpretation? Come on. Don't complain or don't argue. Okay, I got it. You got it? But tell me one thing, Paul. How do you do it? This is hard for me. And I'm the first to admit that I don't always obey this scripture. Later on in Philippians 2, you can read it. Paul says, if we do obey this scripture, we'll shine like stars in the universe. He's saying people will take notice of us and our witness just like they do the stars above on a dark in the dark sky. Because it seems like everybody complains and argues. We're going to stand out from the crowd just as stars stand out in the night sky. If we live by this verse, we're going to help make the truth of God attractive to people who don't know him. How do we live for God's glory and make the truth of God more attractive? And I hope we want to do that. We don't complain. We don't argue. And we're grateful in every situation. If all the followers of Christ in the world did this, I believe it would help change the world. And it might be the catalyst to bring many thousands of people to Jesus Christ. See, Christians should be known for hearts that are filled with gratitude for God and for other people. And we all need to ask ourselves on occasion, like maybe every day, if we're as loving and kind and compassionate as the one we claim to represent, Jesus Christ himself. Because when it comes to gratitude, on many occasions, we're really no different than most everybody else, and we don't shine like the stars. What we need are some spiritually deep-rooted Christians that will have hearts filled with continuous gratitude to God and gratitude for other people. The Bible says this in the book of Proverbs. A city becomes great when the righteous give it their what? But a city is brought to ruin by the what? Words of the wicked. I want us to be people who bless others and build up our communities, our cities, and not be like those who want to tear them down. How do you bring a city to ruin with your words? When those words are negative words? When those words are critical words? When those words are griping and complaining words? Proverbs says that righteous people give their blessing to their cities, to their communities. So what if every person here set a goal such as this? That this week, each of us would at least 3 times a day express gratitude and appreciation to people living in our communities. And I'm not just talking about doing that with other believers out here in the common, getting all 3 of them today, and now you're done for the day. Or your family, that's good, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people in line at Walmart or Target or the checkout people at Schnucks or Shop and Save, the waitress at Steak and Shake or Red Lobster. What if every one of us made a commitment to show continuous gratitude during this upcoming Christmas season? What if we agree 3 times a day when we're out in a community, we're going to tell someone something like this: thank you for the way you did that. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your help. The other day, stop the screens. Just hold it. I was at a gas station, not here in Alton. And I go to this, it's a little gas station, but the prices are right. I like Quick Trip, but the prices were right. And I just, this message was, I knew I was going to preach it this week. And I said, you know, you better start acting out what you preach. It's a good thing for a preacher to do, right? So I went into the place, and it was only about a 10-foot square, an old Clark station or something. And I told that, and the lady thought I was coming in to complain, I'm sure, or say something, or buy cigarettes or booze. And I didn't do that. And I said, I want to tell you, I come here quite a bit, and I've never had to come in and ask you for a receipt. That bugs me when you want the receipt and you had to go in. I've never had to ask you to fill up the water in the windshield washer thing. And she looked at me like I was had Bell's palsy or something. But I didn't have it then, so. But she said, it took her back. She said, thank you. And that was it. So anyway, if we all did this for a week, 200 people, 200 plus, times 3 times a day, 600 times a day, it would equal thousands of positive expressions of gratitude in the River Bend area. And do you think those positive expressions would help build up our communities because they're helping build up the people of our communities? Proverbs says it will. We won't know until we give it a try. Well, the last reason why it's God's will that I give thanks in all circumstances is that it defeats the devil. Defeats the devil. Showing gratitude and not letting it fade away in my life will help defeat the devil in my life. It defeats the devil because the devil loves to mess us up. He loves to get us angry. He loves to get us upset over the things that happen to us in this life. He likes to get us irritated, depressed, discouraged. He loves it when we get jealous, when we get envious, when we get greedy, and on and on and on. You fill in the blank for yourself. If it's not a Christ-like attitude or a Christ-like action, guess what? The devil likes to get us to do it. He knows which buttons to push to get us to let gratitude fade away in our lives. He's figured you out. He's figured me out. And he knows if he can just push the right buttons, we'll get angry. We'll get irritated, discouraged. We'll lose our joy. We'll lose our peace. We'll lose our love. He does this in hopes that we'll ultimately lose our connection with God. So guess what? He keeps pushing the buttons. And what the devil doesn't like us to do is to thank God and show gratitude no matter how things are going in our life. So if something bad or upsetting takes place in your life and you don't let gratitude fade away, but you thank God anyway, it's going to get the devil off his game. I believe it's one of the ways we resist the devil and his plans for us. James says this. Read it with me. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's a powerful verse. With a lot of power and a lot of responsibility in our hands. It was the devil's idea to push the button, to get me irritated, to get you irritated, to get me upset, to get me flustered, to get me to do something to dishonor the name of Jesus. But get this, if the devil pushes the buttons and you and I choose to thank God in that situation and in that circumstance, he'll eventually quit pushing the button and he'll flee from us. When we choose to not let gratitude fade away in our lives, we resist the devil, and this verse promises us that he'll take off. Now, don't misunderstand this. This isn't a once and for all retreat by the devil. The white flag, I'll never leave you alone again, because he'll try again and again and again to get you to let gratitude fade away in your life. And when he comes back at you, it's going to be your choice to again to show gratitude to God and give God thanks in all circumstances. And as you thank and praise God in every situation of life, it defeats what the devil wants to do in your life. If you look it up in the dictionary, you'll find this definition for fade. Gradually grow faint and disappear. So how about it? Has gratitude grown faint in your life? Has giving thanks to God and others faded away and just disappeared? Giving thanks to God in all circumstances is vitally important for our lives as Christ followers. Gratitude and giving thanks is God's will for us. Don't let it fade. Choose to become a spiritually deep-rooted follower of Christ. Be a person of gratitude. Give thanks in all circumstances. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you today that you love us the way you do. We thank you today, Lord, that we are given this option to give thanks in all circumstances. And Lord, I'm the first to admit that I have failed you repeatedly, and I've not given thanks in all circumstances. I ask you to forgive me this day, Lord. I ask you to change my heart. I ask you to work your work of grace and mercy in me. I pray for those who are here that maybe they struggle like I do in giving thanks in all things. Lord, today let us make that commitment before you, that with your help and your empowering by the Holy Spirit, that we would be people of gratitude. We would be people who would give thanks in all situations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.